You are listening to Punk News Podcast episode 591, raw footage, no music, no intro, we're just doing it raw. And why are we doing it raw? And, oh, I'm sorry, this is not episode 591, this is 590.5, John and Ricky Talk Records, and we're doing it raw footage style and that. No editing, no intro, no sound music, because I want to get this up tonight as close as we can to Record Store. Tricky Ricky, here we are once again. I don't want to say in our biannual meeting, because I think it's going to be triannual meeting this year, if not quadannual meeting this year. Quarterly meeting, I guess. Tricky Ricky, what's happening? Are you pumped to talk records, both of our speciality when it comes to conversation?
I am always excited to talk records with my fellow published authors.
That's what I'm saying. So, Ricky, man, if the listeners haven't heard from you since, I guess, Thanksgiving time, how are things in Ricky world? What's going on? What's going on in Ricky's universe?
Working, buying records, and you see me, you know, shit-talking in the comments, you know? I've been trying to keep navel gazing alive, and it's been fairly lively, and and been looking forward to coming back on here. And it seems like you guys are killing it still, which is great to see.
Well, Ricky, always a pleasure to have you back on. Always fun to talk. Ricky, you and I, few people can talk records as intensely and as in-depth as you and I, so it's always fun to have you on. But before we even get into it, Ricky, I think you and I had, and we'll each tell our record store, actually, we'll get into it. Anyway, the point being is, Ricky and I both had record store adventures. My record store day adventure was different than my usual style record store day adventure. I believe Ricky's was fairly typical, but before we get into that, Ricky, I think you and I disagree. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you thought this year's list was weak, or this quarter's list, or this what do you call one third of a year? Is there a term for that? This third of a
try something?
This segment was weak, whereas I felt it was pretty strong. You thought it was kind of weak this year, though, right?
Yeah, and I think that's just. And after seeing what you posted of, like, what you got, I realized, like, I think it's because we have different goals for our collections. So, but we'll get into all the intricacies of that.
All right, fair enough, let's get right to it. Ricky, I think you did your usual thing where you camped out in Amoeba Records, right?
I didn't. I went to a place called Freakbeat Records, which is actually somewhat closer to me and an easier drive, less people, smaller store, and less hectic than Amoeba.
So what time did you get there, and what was the scene like there, and what did you snag?
Let me start with when they dropped the list, and I'll do the whole story if you want.
Yeah.
So I agree with what you said. I actually did not like this list, and because I there's just nothing on there that I wanted. I know there's like that Ramones box set.
Yeah, I can't believe you're putting that, like to me, I saw the Ramones box set. I'm like, oh, this is so sweet. You know, but I'm going to put you on the hot seat. Why weren't you impressed by the Ramones box set? Because I'm like, these records haven't been in print for 20 or 30 years. Here they all collected. Plus, it had some tracks on it that have never been re-released ever since the original 12-inch single, namely Go Home Ann, which was produced by Lemmy Kilmister of Motorhead, and a couple other tracks as well. So, Ricky, why were you not impressed by this amazing, beautiful, reasonably priced box set, which I haven't opened yet because it's just too beautiful, although I definitely should open it because, I mean, I didn't buy it to not play it. I definitely bought it to play it, but it's so beautiful, I don't want to open it. Why did you hate this, Ricky? Why?
I didn't hate it. I thought it was cool, but first of all, I have that Lemmy Kilmister song you on vinyl. I think it's a B-side, the Go Home Man song. I have that on my Bonzo Goes to Bitburg 12-inch single. So I was impressed by it. But here's the thing: I've gotten burned on Ramones Record Store Day stuff before.
The 7-inch box set.
The 7-inch box set has a skip, a permanent skip on every single 7-inch. So that was one thing. The other thing is, when it comes to like older bands, Dead Kennedys, Blondie, Ramones, Clash, I like getting the original old beat up versions from back in the day. So that's just a preference for me.
Ricky, so, I actually agree with you 100% on that. Yeah. On that, like, I don't want Dead Kennedys represses. I want the original alternative titles. I don't want Clash represses. I want the originals. Yeah. I actually have every single Ramones album here that I bought in Netherlands for 12 euros each, although they are not that price now, I'm sure. I'm just bragging there. But Ricky, it was, it's such a beautiful set. And it's the remastered versions. Honestly, I thought it was going to be like a $300, $400 thing because, you know, prices can be crazy for records today.
Yeah.
$160, man, for seven records, for records, I thought it was reasonable. I just think it's so beautifully and so well done, I had to get it even though I have these records. But go ahead.
Yeah, so I'd rather put the money towards the used ones. It's not like I hated it. I just said, like, I'm not going to get this. So I was looking through the list and I just said, I'm getting bad vibes from this year for me at least. And so, so I had basically three things on my list. I had the Portraits of Her comp because the Laura Jane Grace track is on there, but that was so hard for stores to get. Apparently there are only 2000 copies. The big thing was, like, because Taylor Swift was the ambassador this year, she had a regular release and she had a track on that comp. So all the Swifty crazy people were swiping those. I saw one when I was still waiting in line on eBay for $500. So I just said, and the store that I went to, they didn't even get it because they didn't really even know what it was. It's kind of a boomer collector's vibe at the store that I went to, which is fine. But like, they weren't, like, you could tell they weren't totally up on what was the latest stuff.
Isn't it kind of dumb to make, like, this comp a limited edition, like a super limited edition thing? And I'll tell you why. Taylor Swift is huge. Everybody yeah. wants Taylor Swift. A lot of the kids and the teens or whatever go to Record Store Day to get the Taylor Swift 7-inch and this comp because Taylor's on it. And I think it's an exclusive song. So why make it ultra limited in that most people go away disappointed? Like, if the goal was to get younger people in the record stores, which I think is a great goal, why not make 10,000 of these so the kids can get one of these? This is a dumb thing you made ultra limited, isn't it?
Yeah, and what's in the Record Store Day, like, arena, I think the count was like 2,000 copies, which is
2,000,
which is like not bad for Record Store Day. That's usually fairly easy to get. Not when Taylor Swift is on the record, though. So, yeah, so the store that I went to didn't even have them, which, I mean, fine. So I didn't need it, but, and also I realized, like, I'm going to pay $30 for literally one Laura Jane Grace song on a comp.
It's under 2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, this isn't the worst thing if I don't get it. Then, you know, I looked, and the other thing that my number one, and then I'll get to my number two most wanted was, I realized I didn't have anything by The Offspring, in my collection at all. And they're one of the first bands that I really got into, when I was like 10 or 11. And, but I never loved, like, listening to, like, their albums all the way through. So when they announced this, The Greatest Hits record, I go, perfect. This is exactly what I need. The second thing that, and then, last week I went through the list one more time because I'm like, usually I kind of like want a few things, not just two. So I saw The Damned, Strawberries by The Damned, which had like the scented, cover. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. But I'm thinking to myself, if I don't get it, it's also not the worst thing in the world, but it would still be cool. Cause I got that, what was that comp, that like four disc comp that came out a couple of years ago that they did.
I know, yeah, it had that new track on it. I forget.
Yeah, name. Like Back Through the Night or something like that. So I have that, and I realized when I got that, I'm like, I don't really need another, like, Damned record if I don't need to get it, because it has, like, every hit. It is a absolute fantastic comp. But I saw this, and I'm like, okay, if I can get this, that'd be awesome. Only 1,800 copies. Mind you, the Offspring record was, like, 7,000. So,
But honestly, you can get an original Damned Strawberries for like $20-25 on a good day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's why, but you know, if I can get I like those novelties, the smelling, like the strawberry scented, cover, the Record Store Day label on it. Like it was kind of a vibe, you know? So I saw that. I listened to the record again because it had been a while since I'd listened to that one. And God, Ignite's such a great song. And the album's great. So I put those three on my list. I got to Freakbeat at like 4:30. I was first in line. It's also easier parking there. And what they do there is they just have you like write out what you want, and then they ask you like what's the number one thing that you want, and then they'll like try and get that for you. I stupidly said the Offspring album first, and then the Damned one. And they said, "Oh yeah, don't worry, you'll be able to, when they're you'll be able to get both. Don't worry about it." Then I get inside after at like 11, so I'm there for I loaded up on podcasts and just like sat outside in like the 50 degree weather, which is cold for Southern California. So,
So what time did you get there?
4:30.
Wow. And how many people were there when you got there?
This was the crazy thing. When they opened the doors at like 9, and I probably got there at like, got inside at like 10. They usually open at noon, on a normal day. I counted like less than 30, which blew my mind. Totally blew my mind. So I get inside and they're like, and my bag is a little wet. I go, and I look inside, it's just the Offspring album. I go, what happened? He goes, he's like, oh, we only had one. It turns out we only had one of the Damned records and someone else made that their number one pick. I go, are you kidding me? So, I walk out.
What Offspring record came out? I don't even know what was.
So there's a CD. It was originally just a CD. This is the first pressing of it. It's just a greatest hits from like, probably before the, what was that album?
Oh, is it just called Greatest Hits?
Yeah, it's called The Greatest Hits. I think it's everything from before, it has like hits from everything before like Rise and Fall, Rage and Grace. That's their 2008 album. And, it's just all the classic, you know, Offspring albums, you know, from the Epitaph years and when they went like really big, you know, Come Out and Play, Self Esteem, to Pretty Fly for a White Guy, Original Prankster. Like, it's just kind of perfect, for what I was looking for. Came out really nice, cover with like kind of a foil, vibe on it. Blue record. Perfect. It was $30. That's a little steep for one record. But it's records for day. So I walk out, I'm exhausted, I go home, take a nap, and just like, actually I don't even nap, I just kind of chill out. And then I call, but then it occurred to me around noon, like, oh, I should call another place called CD Trader. They might have it because they usually get a big crowd, or at least a mid-sized crowd. And I said, hey, do you guys still have any, Damned, records available still? They go, we have one left. I go, oh man, I'm thinking to myself, oh man, should I do it? It's a 20 minute drive each way. So I'm like, okay, I'll do it. So I drive there on the freeway and I make it there and I look at the boxes. John?
Someone snapped it up.
Someone snapped it up. Just brutal. Like, just brutal. Brutal. So I'm telling you, I just had bad juju about this whole, this year. So, about this year's record store day. So I just kind of looked around. I didn't even find anything. And you know what, John? You know what the most heartbreaking thing was? It was I literally have credit to that store. So I would have gotten like a somewhat of a discount anyway. So,
brutal.
Totally brutal. So then, I think today a record store that I follow on Instagram that I'm blanking on the name of, they put the rest of their stuff on, like their extras online, because that's like what most stores do, I think. Whatever doesn't sell that day, they put it on.
Do you mean 1-2-3-4 Go Record? Cause they're kind of famous for that.
No, this was, no, Smart Punk did it yesterday or today. I forget. And so they put their unbought record store day stuff on their site. And so I see it on there and I see $37 for that Damned record. I go, I'm just like, you know what? I don't need this that bad.
Get an OG, Ricky. Get an OG, man.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. So in the end, it was a very hectic, record store day. By the way, shout out to all the record stores that I mentioned. Freakbeat, CD Trader, Smart Punk. All those stores are great. I've never been to Smart Punk, but I bought a bunch of stuff from them before. They're great.
They have a physical location. I thought that was only online.
They have both. So, but in the end, I got the number one thing that I wanted. I didn't spend a lot of money, and then, you know, I couldn't even, it took me like a while to figure out, what was coming out in June, and I didn't even see anything on there that I wanted. So, though I think that, so what's the deal with June? Is that like just stuff was delayed?
Yeah, honestly, like no one knows what the deal with June is because they didn't even really do like, usually they'll do like a formal announcement like, you know, a record store day is now open, having a record store day drop. You know, they didn't like make that announcement this year. And actually, I think they literally just decided to do that this like 2 or 3 weeks ago. What record store day on July? I think is it June 18th? Is it record store day drop? I think or June 28th?
So it's June 18th. If you look at the list and you go like toward like to page like 9 or something like that, you'll see all the list of stuff that like is coming out that day. But I'm not. It didn't seem like it was because of like COVID and it wasn't terribly clear like if why these were delayed. I'm like, and I'm just thinking if this was a delay purely because the plants are totally backed up, the irony is enormous.
Yeah. I think it's probably a combination of both, but we'll actually get into that whole topic, in a minute. But Ricky, is that your total record store day adventure?
It is. It is, John. How was dress? I thought, you know, you almost didn't go this year.
Right. Well, I wanted to go this year, but, for about 4 years now, I've been selling records down in Philadelphia at this thing called the Punk Rock Flea Market, where it's not even really a flea market, it's not even really punk rock, but I sell records there and I have a lot of fun selling records there. And, it's pretty cool to do, honestly. And this year they schedule on the same day as Record Store Day, which they did one other year, but for some reason I didn't have a problem there because, like, I think, like, Record Store, maybe that was the year Record Store Day was, like, canceled or whatever or something. At any rate, I say, well, do I want to make money or do I want to spend money? Also, what's kind of cool about records, well, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but back in the day, we're talking 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when Record Store Day was relatively new, if you didn't get it at Record Store Day, you're spending $150 online if you can get it at all there, you know? Now these days, I mean, there are, like for some reason, like, always, like, the Grateful Dead box sets still do that, and, like, the Fish box sets, like, who are these people that are spending $400 on a freaking Fish record? I mean, give me
I saw someone when I was in line just wearing like all sorts of Grateful Dead patches, and I'm like, ooh, what are you here for?
You punch him in the face. but like, what is, I think this is probably, well, it's a good thing or a bad thing in that, like, most of the things that I want, and I think most kind of things that you want, even if you don't get them on Record Store Day, you can get them on Discogs for just about like suggested price or maybe like a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because flipping now is so common and there's so many records that, like, there's so many flippers that they've kind of the idea of a flipper is to choke the free market, if you will, and that you've got something everyone else wants, so you get absorbent prices. But now that there's so many Record Store Day flippers, they've choked themselves out, and so they always do a free service in that, like, if you can't go to Record Store Day, then you can just buy it off Discogs from a flipper for the exact price it was at the store, or even less sometimes, you know?
But some people, like, actually buy it for, you know, triple retail. Like, you see sold listings on eBay, and people actually still fall for that stuff.
Well, I always fell for it myself, Ricky, and here's why. So I said, well, do I want to spend money or make money? And honestly, like, there was some pretty cool stuff on the Rex Ray list this year. Actually, I'll say the Ramones box set, which I thought was real cool. I really wanted to get it, but it's like, I already have the record, so do I need to reissue? The Peter Tosh record, which was really cool. The Peter Tosh record was Complete Captured Live. In the year after Peter Tosh died, they released a live record called Captured Live, which was like 8 songs from the Mama Africa tour. Then in like the early 2000s, they released a CD version called Complete Captured Live, which was the whole concert on CD. The new record is basically just the CD burned onto a record, or pressed onto a record, which I have the CD, but I kind of wanted to get it on vinyl because I've got all the Peter Tosh records on vinyl, and it's cool to have it on vinyl, even though it's kind of, I guess, pointless, but it's still kind of cool. The Joan Jett record, Joan Jett put out a new record. It's an acoustic record. It's called Acoustics, and actually, it's got a sticker on it. It says Change Up to LP with 20 additional acoustic tracks coming soon. So I guess this is really just an EP for her upcoming album. But I've got every Joan Jett album, and honestly, I kind of can't stand acoustic albums. but I got every Joan Jett album, so I kind of wanted to get it. And actually, I got it, and we'll talk about it. It's kind of cool. Let's see, what else? I kind of wanted to get the Stevie Nicks 2 LP set, even though I already have that on CD. I've got the original. The Alice Cooper set was kind of cool. Alice Cooper reissued his worst album, Brutal Plan, on Deluxe 2 LP. but I'm a huge Alice Cooper fan. I even want his bad album, and even his bad albums have some merit. But it is kind of cool to get this album that was put out in like early 2000s when there was a vinyl version actually, but there was like 1,000 of them made in Europe back in like 2002 or whatever. And so those are like $300 each, $200 each. So it was kind of cool to get an affordable copy on vinyl of the Brutal Planet album. And I think those were my main ones. Oh, the Iggy Pop Live set, we'll talk about that. I mean, it's just another Iggy Pop Live album, and the postage of Iggy Pop Live albums after Passenger and the Idiot, Lust for Life and the Idiot. They're all good but not great because his backing band is basically, you know, pitch hitters and they're kind of just doing a job. So I know you're never supposed to say anything bad about Iggy Pop. I think he's cool on those records, but he's not Stooges good. So they're fun to listen to, they're enjoyable, but they're okay. The David Bowie, there was a couple of David Bowie EPs. It's basically like each of them basically had like 4 to 6 songs from David Bowie's early 2000s period, which is David Bowie's worst period by far. Or actually, no, his second worst period. The worst period is probably the 90s. But at any rate, so right now the David Bowie estate, or actually not even the estate, the entity that bought all of David Bowie's publishing and sound recordings, they're trying to make the argument that, no, actually, David Bowie in the 90s and 2000s was actually really good. I would say he was trying interesting things, but I wouldn't say it reaches the heights of the 60s, 70s, and even 2010s and so forth, or even the 80s. But that being said, it's still cool to have David Bowie stuff, and I'm glad that they're finding stuff to put out. But it's, do I need to spend $30 or $40 on a record that I'm not going to really enjoy, frankly? You know, I'm going to have it, but I'm not going to really enjoy it. So anyways, I thought there was a really lot of cool stuff on Record Store Day, but I was bummed because I wasn't going to go because I was selling records down in Philadelphia. And so I said to myself, well, I'll be a dirtbag and I'll go on eBay and I'll see how much these Ramones box sets are going for. And at the time, I didn't know how much they were. I saw some for $300, $350, and I saw one for $250 make an offer. And so I said, man, I would 7 records, I would really like that. So I made an offer for $200. Ricky, he countered at $230. I countered at $210. He countered at $220. And I'm like, you know what? Like I'm like, oh, should I buy it? But I'm like, $220, like, do I really spend $220? You know what I mean? And so I waited, and about 2 or 3 hours later, and this is about 1 a.m., someone else bought it for the full $250. And in a way, I was relieved. I'm like, wow, that made it for me. I'm just not going to get it, you know. So anyway, I go and sell records in Philadelphia, have a great time. I get out at about 5:30. And I'm like, well, you know, some of the record shops are still open. Maybe I'll just hit some up and see what's going on. I went over to one of my favorite Philly record shop, Sit and Spin, which is the punk record shop in Philly. And they don't do the Record Store Day thing. They do the cool thing, which is equally cool and sometimes cooler, is they just bring in a whole bunch of rare records, not Record Store Day stuff, like, you know, old used, you know, Sex Pistols, Clash, but, yeah, you know, rare stuff too, you know, Honey Bane or whatever, you know.
Amoeba does that too on Record Store Day.
Yeah. And honestly, like, if I really had to choose, I think most times I would probably go to that instead of the official one, because now you can get the official stuff online. All right, I never finished my train of thought. Is the question, and Ricky, give me your perspective on this.
Yeah.
In a way, it's cool that you can get whatever you want on Discogs now for about the manufactured price, you know, just retail price, so you don't have to worry about going to Record Store Day. But on the other hand, that is completely ruining the idea of records. The idea of Record Store Day is to get people to the physical record store so people, you know, get in the habit of going to Record Store Days. So what's your opinion on the fact that now almost anything you and I want, you can get on Discogs for a relatively reasonable price?
I mean, here's where I'm at. Like, I think for people like you and I, John, like, we would still go to record stores if there weren't Record Store Day. I mean, I think what we're seeing is, and this, no, I still love Record Store Day, but I think what we've been seeing is the last few years that Record Store Day has probably kind of peaked/jumped the shark. And this is, and what you're talking about, I think, is a symptom of that. It's just, its purpose is now almost, it's almost redundant, or it's missing the mark now. So it's just weird. I mean, there's a lot of ironic stuff happening there. That's one of them. You know, the pressing plants being backed up because of Record Store Day. Like, And the fact that it's gone this mainstream, it's just compared to, like, you know, when I started going, like, in 2013, it's completely the opposite, almost the opposite of what it was.
But I mean, isn't the purpose of Record Store Day to make it main? I mean, that's my understanding. Is the purpose of Record Store Day is to get non-record maniacs into the store? That's my understanding.
True. Yeah. So I guess it's working. I mean, whether they're flipping, whether the flipper still has to pay for the record, you know. So
that is a good point, isn't it?
So I mean, it does take the fun out of it for those of us that actually get in line. I mean, the other thing is, like, you know, so many. Back to it being like super mainstream now. It's like at Amoeba, you know, I would get there at like. I think I got there at midnight one year, the night before, and I was still like 80-something in line, and I got just about everything I wanted, but like I'm standing in line for records for like 10, 11 hours. This is getting insane.
That's pretty brutal. I mean,
when I
go to the normal Record Store Day, I usually go to a place called Electric Avenue in Westchester, Pennsylvania, which is real cool. I get there at about 5:30. They open at 8. So, and I'm usually like number 10 or 15 in line, you know.
Yeah. So the reason why just real quick, like, so because that's been happening and all this stuff's been happening, that's why I decided to go to a smaller store. The problem is Amoeba gets the most, usually gets like the most amount of copies. But I can at least kind of do a sniper, a rifle shot and get to a smaller shop earlier or somewhat early and get mostly what I want. But back to the flippers, like, I always thought, like, I'm not saying, like, it always just came off as like, you guys are just sort of ruining the fun here. And that it kind of takes, like, I think you would say, like, the whimsy out of it, you know?
You're right, except for I'm surprised that, like, flippers are still doing it, though.
Yeah.
Because everything is, like, so cheap. Not, I wouldn't say cheap on Discogs, but, like if you're spending, like let's say you buy – flippers will buy, like, 30 records, you know? But if you buy a record for 30 and sell for 35 on Discogs, like, that's, like, not worth it at all.
No way. No, so, and a lot of flippers, you know, like at least that I've seen again at Amoeba, the people that get there first in line are there at like 2 or 3 in the afternoon the day before. I mean, and so like, so you're sitting in line for, you know, almost what, like close 20 hours, we'll call it. And you're making $5 on that. The other thing is, again, like, but I'm seeing, you know, it's like right away. Like, people don't seem to understand, like, that, like, Record Store Day prices on the secondhand market, like, fall quite a bit, like, a week or two after. So you're still seeing people, like, probably new people, like, totally fall for it.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And Taylor Swift fans or whatever, it is kind of bullshit that, like, these flippers are making money off, like, 14-year-old girls. Like, that's pretty lame, you know. At any rate.
Crazy.
So I did put in an offer for like $220 for the Ramones box set on eBay or whatever, and yeah. I didn't get it, and I was relieved, and I'm like, well, whatever. So I go to Sit and Spin Records, and but basically I got there late, so I missed basically all the great jewels. But you know, in a way, it's a bummer if you miss. But on the other hand, if you never saw it in the first place, you don't know what you're missing. And hypothetically, like, you're missing out on cool records every day because you don't go to the record store every day, you know. So I'm like, yeah, whatever. You can't catch them all. But what they did have, they had a huge sale on cheapo CDs and records and 7-inches. And basically for a $25 box, I got about 100 10-inch singles, which are almost all Beatles, a little bit Elton John. I got like 30 CDs and like 15 or 20 like cheapo records, you know, like OJs or OJs or Elvis or even like Billy Joel or stuff like that. So I mean, honestly, I love Sit and Spin Records, and they have great like blowout deals or whatever. So honestly, my record store was made right then. I figured out Ricky, my per unit cost for my box was 3 cents per item.
That's a good deal.
So, I mean, honestly, I got some like Cure CDs for 3 cents, so that was pretty cool. So then it was only about 6 o'clock. So I'm like, I'm going to shoot on down to Repo Records, which is a pretty cool new. Well, they have new venues, but their used prices are a little high. But the new stuff is cool. It's kind of one of the cool. Well, it's one of the more mainstream but cooler record stores in Philadelphia on South Street. So I zipped on over there, and I'm think, and they have people lined up at like 3 a.m., 4 a.m. And like when I was selling records in Philadelphia, I went on Instagram to see how crazy it was over there, and it was a madhouse. I think they said that they were absolutely mobbed from like 10 a.m. till about 4 p.m. Like it was jammed, right? So I'm figuring nothing's going to get there. Ricky, I walk in. I'll say, I'll see what's in there. Ricky's sitting right there on the table, the Ramones box set.
There
Bam.
You go. Wait, oh, how many copies? Just one?
Actually, two, actually. And ooh. I picked mine up, and I walked around the store with it. And I'm like, oh, I should get the lower number if they have it. So I went back. I had, like, number 8,000. And then sitting there was number 2,403. So I snapped it on up. $169, which, you know, Record Store Day is expensive. Records are more expensive these days due to COVID and also just the small number of record pressing plants. So there's a choke in the supply chain. But I got to say, for $169, call $170. Seven records, that's pretty reasonable. That's about like $22 a record, which isn't cheap, but it's not gouging, I would say, you know?
No, actually, and you know what? They could have gouged for that,
they could have, too,
and they didn't.
So honestly, I mean, people talk trash on Linda Ramone and even Mickey Lee, and I think I mostly don't agree with that. I think both Linda and Mickey Lee are doing a very nice job of kind of preserving the Ramones discography and memory with dignity and the import that it deserves. I think they're doing a really nice job. What I am surprised about is that, Ricky, wouldn't you think that they would, like, for Record Store Day, that they would release each of these separately, like each Record Store Day for like $40 or $45 each, or just do a mainstream, like normal release of each record? It is interesting that the first time we're getting here's the albums, Pleasant Dreams, Subterranean Jungle, Too Tough to Die, Animal Boy, Halfway to Sanity, Brain Drain, and a Rarities disc. You would think they would release those each separately to maximize their dollar. I feel like doing it this way, they're kind of losing out. I mean, because they could easily sell those for, like, say, $35 each. So 35 times 7 is what? That's 210 plus 35. $250, call it. So they're kind of cutting themselves out at $100 per total unit cost, if you will. I think that's cool that they're doing it like this, but I'm very surprised by it. And so what I was thinking about is, A, do you think they're going to re-release them all separately in the future? This is just kind of like one of those pre-things. Or do you think that the Ramones later day stuff maybe doesn't sell as well, so they had to package it this way to make it a profitable or thing that people would go kind of crazy over? What do you think?
Well, I know they did like big reissues for at least the first three records, like
right. Everything through Ramones Alive got like that, like crazy, like three disc, three CD reissue, but they stopped there for some reason.
Yeah, I wonder if, I mean, because those are like if you're just like a casual Ramones fan, like
I think the fourth record got the deluxe issue too, actually, now I think about it.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I was like, I was thinking about that as you're saying that. I wonder if they did that for the other records. I wonder how well those would have sold.
Not as well, for sure.
Yeah, so I think that's probably why they did that. Also, maybe if they did, like, if they, maybe it would be construed as, like, gouging if you're doing that for every single Ramones record, at least all the Sire ones. So I wasn't surprised when you started kind of breaking that down. And also, I mean, that stuff's hard to find. So at least for a decent price. So, I mean, it's good that they did it. I agree. I think Linda Ramone's doing a good job of it. I have no complaints. I just prefer to have originals, or at least, you know, beat up originals, like I said before. So, I'm glad you got it. I mean, that's a Record Store Day miracle, as we say on the podcast.
It was not as much as my last time with Joe Jack Dacken, but, and then of course they also had the Alice Cooper record, so I picked that on up. Which, let's see how many of those they made. Well, I'm not going to waste our time, but I don't think they made a ton of them, and so it was cool to get that, even though the record itself was all right. And then I said to myself, well, they didn't have any Peter Tosh records, so I'm like, well, what are you going to do? Maybe I'll buy it online. But, hey, you know what, I'll go to Creep Records. The Creep Records is certainly one of my favorite record stores in Philadelphia. Also, it's one of my two favorite venues in Philadelphia where I've done multiple shows. So I kicked it on over to Creep Records. Ricky sitting right there, Peter Tosh, complete capture live at Creep Records.
Look at you.
I snatched that on up, and this is like at almost 9 o'clock at night, because Creep is open till 9 o'clock at night, which is kind of cool. So I snatched it on up and got it and enjoyed my Record Store Day miracle. I didn't, sometimes your Record Store Day I'll go nuts and spend $350, $400, but you know what? I'm kind of over that at this point. It's like, do I want to spend like $300 every time I go to Record Store Day? You know, maybe just a little is as good as a lot in certain circumstances. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most I think the most I ever spent on Record Store Day was like $100 and something because at the time
you bought two records.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. No, I bought that was the year that I got the Ramones 7-inch box set, and but I was getting paid to write about it, so I didn't feel that bad. But yeah, usually I agree. I try to be I'm not purposely stingy. It's just that the I think over time the lists have grown more diverse, and it's like it used to be so many punk records you could get. I remember one year I got like five, and that was great. Five, four, and maybe three one year, but like there's always a good amount. Now it's like two, and that's also counting. That might be kind of skewed though because of the drops from the last year or two, and I think 2020 I only got the Menzingers reissue, so. And that was all online, so I guess sort of those two kind of make it a little bit bring the average down.
What do you think of the I guess the average? I mean, for a while, Record Store Day prices were like this. It was before COVID. Like before COVID, the prices were like insane. It was like $40 for one LP. You know, now it seemed like the prices for one LP was about $26 for a single LP here. Let me see what else I got. Double LP, $40 for Alice Cooper. That's kind of pricey, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, my Offspring album was $30.
So, let's see. Peter Tosh Double Live, $40. I don't know, man. $40 for two LP, that's kind of do you think Record Store Day prices are fair for, quote, Record Store Day? Or do you think there's some gouging and you think things should come down a little bit? But also keep in mind now, a new normal record at normal prices used to be like $17, but now it's like $22 to $25. Like, you know?
You know, it's funny. I pre-ordered the new Beach Rats album that got announced today. That came out to over $30 with shipping. Yeah. With shipping, and I guess I still had media mail shipping, but like, you know, I've been noticing it sort of slowly ticking up. Maybe that's why I wasn't that shocked about the, and I've had to pull back. I'm not going to lie. I've gotten some like vintage stuff that I've really like grails that I wanted this year, but like in terms of new stuff, there's been a few that I've just sort of let go because the price just didn't seem worth it. One, real quick, John, one release we did not mention that I feel like should, and I decided against it because I have my reasons, and I'll get into that, but the Stiff Little Fingers BBC Live Concert, double LP. Did you take a look at that?
Yeah, actually, I didn't know it was coming. Like, for some reason, my eyes missed it when looking over the list. I saw it in the store. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know it was just coming out, but I'm going to say something heretical, and that, like, I don't really care about Stiff Little Fingers. I mean, I know everyone loves them. I just don't care about them that much, to tell you the truth. Like, I think they're fine, but I don't love Inflammable Material. I think it's an okay album, you know. And if it was $20, I would have got it, but it was $40, you know.
Yeah. So that hurts my heart. One of the very first, like, you know, capital P punk songs that a friend ever showed me that wasn't like Green Day or like Blink-182 was Alternative Ulcer. And so, like, that was one of the life-changing songs for me. And I'm like, okay, this looks cool. I'm not a huge fan of live albums. I don't really listen to – I just find myself not listening to them that much on my turntable.
But BBC live albums are kind of different. They're, like, super high-quality sound.
Yes, yes. Actually, that, you know, that Green Day one that came out, like, late last year, is that – the sound quality is quite good. But then I looked at like the track list, and it just sort of missed for me. I just really wasn't into it. So I skipped that too, but I just felt like, you know, that one was at least worth talking about. But I love that band, but I decided to pass on that too. So,
well, actually, it looks like it's between 81 and 82. So, like, that's after, like, their third album. So,
yeah.
Like, actually, that's actually near the end of the original run of the band. But you can get it online now for, like, $20, or it can be really one at $24.
I know.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, there's, I also find myself, like, I have, like, a list of stuff that I will definitely pay shipping for, but I also have a running list on my phone that I'll just, like, I don't want to pay shipping for, but if I find it in the store, I'll get it.
So
like, this might be one of those. I think the Damned Record Store Day thing that I missed out on might be one of those. I don't know. Did we miss anything else on the list?
Let me see. There were, I talked about the David Bowie stuff. The David Bowie stuff was like interesting, but not like I had to have it. We talked about the Joan Jett thing. The Joan Jett thing is cool, but it's kind of like, I don't love, acoustic records, but it's 8 tracks and it's a Record Store Day. So I mean, honestly, to me, the point of Record Store Day is stuff that should come out that couldn't normally come out because there might not be high enough demand. But for Record Store Day, we can do something kind of weird or interesting just because it's Record Store Day. So, you know, like live records or things or I guess obscure but also like with Record Store Day, like they also did reissue like a bunch of stuff. Like they reissued Jimmy Cliff's album Follow My Mind, which is one of his more mediocre records from the '70s. It's like you could buy a normal one for $6. Like who cares, you know?
The Blondie EP was incredibly disappointing. It's 4 versions of Sunday Girl on 2 7-inches.
Yeah.
I'm just like, why? The you could do so many other things. And then I was kind of heartened to see this year, at least there were, at least, unlike the last few years, at least there were some, like, you know, big ticket items on this list. There are clearly a few releases that were like the top most like unique. I think the Ramones box set, especially in our world. I mean, Taylor Swift is going to be Taylor Swift, and also like her Lakes, I think it was a 7-inch. And I'm starting to think that, the Portraits of Her comp probably was one of them too. But like the last few years, it didn't seem like there was that big ticket item on the list.
Yeah. Yeah. I know some people were into the Lou Reed record, and I like Lou Reed, but do I need his demos? I mean, demo records are always disappointing for me. It's like, it's some guy in his house playing an acoustic guitar. Like, who cares, you know?
Well, also, isn't it in the 90s, too?
No, it's from between the end of the Velvet Underground and his first solo album, so 71.
Oh, okay.
What you're thinking of, there was a Lou Reed and Kris Kristofferson doing kind of like an MTV Unplugged type thing.
Yeah.
I don't need that at all, frankly. the Muffs, although I'm going to contradict myself, the Muffs released a demos of their third album from the late 90s, I think. So that was kind of cool if you're a Muffs fan. But other than that, I don't know if there was any other like really big, big. I know a lot of people wanted the Replacements live record. I'm not really a Replacements fan, but if I was, it'd be pretty cool. But I don't know if there were really any other, you know. One other thing is, why does Record Store Day, why does Record Store Day love picture discs? They reissued Cure's Pornography.
Thank you.
And Devo's, like, everyone wants everyone wants pornography. No. everyone wants Cure records because they're incredibly hard to find now. Just put them on black vinyl or colored vinyl if you really like, no one wants a Cure picture disc. Like, why? You know, they sound like shit. They look stupid. You know, like, just, Cure records have really cool covers. Just put it on a black or colored vinyl and people, like the picture disc aspect, I think really hurts the people wanting those Cure reissues. I don't know why they're doing it. Same for the Devo, frankly.
I have heard that the current year picture disc sound base are actually much more improved than back in the day. Is that true or not?
Yeah, I heard that too. But recent picture discs, honestly, well, I'm not going to name names, and we can talk about this after the podcast. A record that I was really looking forward to, where the music is actually fantastic, I got the record itself, and the record sounds like garbage. And I got a couple of others from that pressing. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. But I got a couple of, and the record sounds like garbage. So I actually think picture discs still do sound crappy. They probably sound better than they did in the 80s. Cause in the 80s, it's like, why am I even playing? Like, there's so much noise on the ones from the 80s.
Yeah.
They sound like total garbage. But I mean, honestly, like even new ones, they still sound kind of thin and crappy, and there's still a lot of noise on them. It's like, so the reason, I think the reason people say that is because certain plants make really crappy sounding normal records, so the picture discs don't sound as bad compared to those. But if you compare that to a good pressed record, there's still a really big difference. You know what I mean? And if you want to, here's a simple way to compare it. Play your original Cure record against the new picture disc version. Sounds a lot different, you know.
Really?
The new one sounds like you're playing an MP3. So why am I playing a record if it's going to sound like an MP3? I might as well just play the MP3, you know. So.
Yeah, and you know, I think that also, you know, because they're doing so many picture discs, that leads us again down the road of, okay, is this for the records and the music, or is this just going after collectors, commercialism, and all that stuff? Like, people that don't really, that are sort of new to this, they probably don't know know the intricacies that we're talking about with this.
Well, you know what's funny, Ricky? I'm going to pat both of us on the back and kind of put us both on a pedestal. So I did miss waiting in line at Record Store Day this year, and I really do enjoy waiting in line, like just talking to people and hanging out. You probably have this too, is I'll be hanging out and talking Record Store Day, and when you talk to people, it's clear that you or I know way more about the bands and the records than the people you're talking to. They're like, the new Ramones box set, or whatever, you know what I mean? And like, they're like, yeah, it's like their best hits. And you think to yourself, well, it's not their best hits. It's good stuff, but it's not their best hit. You know what I mean? But you don't want to say that because you don't want to be like a dick. You know what I mean? So, anyway, but the point being is you and I think both don't like picture discs, and I think anybody that like runs a record store, anybody that really collects records, know that picture discs sound like crap, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I'll be waiting in line with, and not necessarily with kids, like honestly, dudes older than me, you know, 50-year-old dudes or 40-year-old dudes, or even like 25 or 30-year-old dudes. They'll be like, yeah, and the deal record's on a picture disc. Oh, it looks so cool. And it's like, and the person, like, this isn't the first record the person is buying. The person you're talking to maybe has 200 records or something. So they've been to the record store. They've been to the record before, that they are a quote record collector. And they're seemingly excited by a picture disc, while I'm really put off by a picture disc. So my question is, does that person want the picture disc because Record Store Day has told them to want the picture disc? Or do they actually truly want the picture disc absent any marketing in for picture disc? Because for the life of me, I can't, I don't know. Maybe you have an idea, or maybe you don't, Ricky. Because for the life of me, like, I never want a picture disc. They sound like crap, you know? And honestly, once you've seen one picture disc, you're like, oh, wow, there's a picture in the vinyl. Once you've seen that, like, twice, it's like, so what, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny. Like, you know, I agree. I mean, I have some picture discs for purely collector's reasons. Also, when my parents moved, like, they said, okay, they wanted to get rid of their record collections, so they said, here's what we want to keep, you keep what we want to keep, and then you can sell whatever. So I have a few, like, old school picture discs, that I never play. I never play them, though.
Just out of curiosity, like what?
So my dad gave me, they're still in the shrink, they've never been opened. I have a Beatles Abbey Road.
I've seen those around.
From like 1972 or something like that. I think I have Sgt. Pepper's. I have Parallel Lines by Blondie. I have that Big Heart album that he gave me.
Well, don't open those, Ricky, not to preserve the value, but because they sound like crap. So don't bother.
You know what? I probably both. I think I have, because I just adore the record, I think I have the Reinventing Axl Rose one that came out like 5-6 years ago.
I bet you that's worth like crazy money now, because all those records during COVID have shot way up. Ricky, without looking, maybe unless you have looked, what do you think your picture disc Reinventing Axl Rose is worth? If you know that, don't play.
I don't know.
Take a guess. But,
what, 50, 60 around there?
All right. Well, fine. You keep talking. I'll look it up while you talk.
The other thing is, you know, in terms of like, getting people to like be excited about a picture disc, I mean, let's just take a shot at ourselves for a second. Remember how excited we are about the reissue of Age of Coral last year? Like, and then when we got
it. Well, no, but we weren't excited about it. We were interested in the combat behind it.
Yeah, but and we finally got it, but then we were both like, why did we get this? We both have it. Like, so I think Record Store Day probably has like that marketing magic that just gets, probably people that know better and that don't know better to go and get picture discs.
So you think the people in line, and I've heard, I mean, I'm not making this personal, but I've heard a lot of these guys, the people in line say, I can't wait to get the Bob Dylan picture disc or whatever. They're saying that because they think they want it only because Record Store Day has told them to think they want it.
It's probably a mixed bag.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, like I got, when I was in line with that guy with this older guy, with just a ton of Grateful Dead patches and like a Grateful Dead t-shirt. I'm like, I don't know. It's clear you're getting the box set, like, which they do a huge box set for the Grateful Dead, like every year, you know?
Isn't it weird that Grateful Dead have had a huge resurgence over the past like 6 or 7 years? Like, why? Oh, well, you like the Grateful Dead, so I won't diss on them. Never mind.
No. I mean,
listeners, Ricky likes the Grateful Dead.
We've gone over this. If you're a longtime listener, I mean, if you all you need for the Grateful Dead, if you just want to check them out, or if you're a casual fan like me, you just need to listen.
A drill bit, and you just put it right through your ear, and there you go.
All you need is the Grateful Dead. If you think you might like them, all you need to look at is the Greatest Hits album, and that's it, because there's so much filler, and I'm sure those live albums, like I was just looking at the live album that came out this year for Record Store Day, 5 LPs, live in 1972, and it's like, there's no reason for that. Now, if you want to go at, if you like what you hear on the Greatest Hits album, American Beauty, and then like after that, I can't guide you anymore. Because there's so much, and the other thing, I think the other issue with those live albums, like, it's just a lot of, like, jamming. It's like, why? I don't understand. So.
Well, listen, I'm not gonna be down with Grateful Dead too much, cause I know Ricky likes him to a degree. I know Ricky loves the Grateful Dead.
Thank you, John.
But I agree, like, I tried to get into the Grateful Dead probably 5 times, and I'm just not trying anymore. Yeah. But like, there's so many live albums. You would say, oh, well, they must all be, like, totally different from me. Like, I'm trying to think, like Frank Zappa did a lot of tours, and all the tours were totally different than each other. David Bowie's tours were actually quite different from each other. I'm trying to think of another example. Funkadelic and George Clinton tours were all totally different. So you say, oh, there are literally probably 200 live Grateful Dead releases, probably, maybe more. And so you would say to yourself, oh, well, the shows must all be totally different from each other.
They're not.
And you look at the track listing from, like, 72 and, like 89. Or like 79, or it's basically the same set list. Like, it's like they always play Casey Jones, they always play Scarlet Pagonias, they always play Dark Star, you know, they always play Fire on the. It's like it's the same set every like I don't know what these people are listening. It's like, as much as I love the Rolling Stones, I don't need to hear Jumpin' Jack Flash so many times, you know, like who wants to hear Casey Jones 200 times? But somebody does. Yeah. All right, Ricky, let's wrap this on up. You were clowning on it, down on it, Record Store Day. Well, actually,
we never figured out how much the Reinventing Axl Rose picture was.
I actually looked it up. Somewhat of a disappointing number, $40. I thought it would have been a lot more, frankly.
Yeah, I got it straight from No Idea, so I'm still in the green.
Ricky, now's the time to sell. So anyways, I do know that Record Store Day hasn't been 100% clear as if there's going to be the June 18 one, and then just Black Friday or June 18. And was it last year, Ricky, where they did 4 in a row? Was that last year?
They did 3 drops, and then they did Black Friday.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So they haven't been clear if there's been going to be 3 this year or 4 total. Definitely 3, one on June 18 and then Black Friday. So first question, Ricky, is a bunch of questions. Do you want 4 bangers in a row? Do you want 3 bangers, or is 2 just enough? First question. Second question, June 18, is there anything that you want? You said no, there's something that I really want on June 18, but go ahead.
I really these drops are brutal. I don't like them. I understand why they had to why they decided to do it. I liked it just one day in April and one day in November. Like, I just, there's, first of all, like, The problem with the drops was I just want to get everything that I want on one day. And when the drops happened, I went one to the first one, like June, and there were two things that I wanted. I got them, but I wasn't going to wait in line the next month for one thing that I wanted. So it just split up the list, and having to do this a bunch of times in the year is just not, I'm trying to be like more of an adult. I'll do this like once or twice a year, not four. So I wish we could go back to like 2019 and just do one record store day in April, one in November. Even I wasn't totally on board with, Black Friday one because the lists were not as good. But, if we can just go back to those two, I'd be happy. What did you want on the June list?
First of all, Ricky, you're never too old for records. That is a bad mentality.
No, just records. No, just waiting in line at an ungodly hour is just not ideal. I don't like doing it three times a year. Once or twice is fine, but four is crazy.
Ricky, you're saying it's ungainly to basically hang out like a junkie waiting for the dealer to come by and give you those things you desperately need.
Yeah, I'm not exactly thrilled with like living out, I'm waiting for the man by the Velvet Underground, you know? Like that's becoming but instead of like heroin, it's vinyl. No, John, it's not ideal.
Well, for Rex Today, June 18, there's one thing that I really, really, really want, that's the surfboard keep on trucking, Ricky.
Yeah
my
go.
Surfboard keep on trucking. But they're only doing 1,000 records, which is insane. I'm almost sure they're probably gonna do a wider release afterwards, but in the slim chance that they're not, I definitely wanna get this surfboard record. It was one of my favorite records of last year. I think it might have been like my second favorite record of last year, third favorite record of last year. Keep on Trucking is an amazing record, and they haven't done any physical releases yet. They're actually putting it on a tape this month, but I want the record version and a CD if one exists. So I really, really want to get that surfboard record. It's an amazing record, and I definitely want it on vinyl. I'm also interested in the Wailing Souls reissue of Firehouse Rock. Just because it's a great record, and I've got the CD reissue, but that only has like two bonus tracks, and maybe I think the deluxe vinyl version will have a bunch of extra tracks, and also the Jamaican version is way different than the USA version, so I think they're going to kind of combine the releases or something. Also, Madness is putting out an EP for Baggy Trousers, which is the track Baggy Trousers, and some other stuff as well. Looks like some rarities, so that'll be kind of cool too. I'm not dying for that, but I definitely want to get Surfboard, and if I can, Wailing Souls.
You don't want the Keith Richards double cassette?
Yeah, no, I don't. As much as I love Keith Richards, as much as I love Rolling Stones, I like cassettes. I think they're fun and they're wacky, but there is no reason whatsoever to put out a cassette when you can just as easily put out a CD or a record. Like cassettes are kind of cool because they're cheap to make, and so if you're trying to put something out and you don't want to put a whole lot of money into it, or it's just something weird or wacky, then cassettes is cool. But if you're putting out like a...
Yeah, I guess Cassette Store Day didn't really take off as they thought.
Oh no, it did. You don't know what happened with Cassette Store Day?
Maybe I'm forgetting.
Yeah, so Cassette Store Day was kind of a thing. It wasn't nearly as big as Record Store Day, but it was handled by Burger Records. Burger Records was the USA like thing, and Burger Records collapsed, of course, everyone knows. So that label, Tapehead City, kind of tried to assume the mantle, but I don't think it totally snag. But also, I think cassette, I mean, not that records aren't a fad right now, but I think cassettes are even more of a fad. And as much as people buy demo cassettes at punk shows and stuff, I think outside of the punk scene, people buying cassettes is like really minimal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't think it's popular enough, frankly, even though everyone loves cassettes right now. You know,
I think Vaporwave fans also really like them.
Yeah, but Vaporwave like isn't even like a thing anymore. You know what I mean? Like that's over, you know?
Oh, okay.
So no, I don't need a double Keith Richards cassette because I already have the CD and I've got the record. So no, I don't need this stupid ass cassette that's going to be probably like $30, you know, for two stupid cassettes.
It's limited to only 650.
Yeah, that's 649 too many. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm excited for it. I'll go to it. And, that's our Record Store Day adventure. Yeah, Ricky, any parting words as to record collecting or your Record Store Day or the general Tricky Ricky mentality?
To be just totally upfront, if there was something that I wanted for June 18th, I'd probably go. But they're just the biggest thing is I just don't. There's nothing on the list that I particularly want. In terms of party awards, no. Like I'm always happy. I love coming back and doing this. And you know, just talking records because I don't have a lot of people to do it with in my life. I'm like the only record collector that I know out here So it's cool. It's great to be back on the podcast as usual. Thanks, you know, for having me on, John. And forever, whoever's listening that's or in the comments, I guess I'll see you guys in there and on record and in Navel Gazing.
Well, we'll talk again in June 18, which isn't even really that far away.
Sure.
And we'll have to have you back on more often. So anyway, Ricky, thanks for coming on. Always fun to talk with you. Always a pleasure to talk records with you.
So much fun, John.
And actually, Ricky, they just announced this recently. I'm pretty sure it looks like you definitely will be going to Record Store Day June 18th. You see what they just announced today?
What?
they just announced Grateful Dead American on picture disc. See you there, Ricky. There you go.